You're listening to Sky Sports Radio. I hope you're having a great Friday morning. And Friday is Friday Legends Day on the Big Sports Breakfast. And, well, Clarkie and Loz, we got a legend with us now because one of the greatest Wallabies of all time is joining us. Played 101 tests between 82 and 96, scored 64 tries. David Campese, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Mate, going very well. Where to start on what was such an illustrious career? But this weekend actually would have been the Hong Kong Sevens. And you played, I think, 12 times at the Hong Kong Sevens. I think a lot of people that go there remember it not really for the footy, but the party in the stands. What's your favourite memory from the Hong Kong Sevens?
Yeah, well, if you ask a player, obviously, the memory of playing, but if you ask supporters, they probably can't remember much because the South Stand, you go there, and I've known people who I've gone there for the weekend. I've met him a week later, and I've got no idea who played, who won. So it just shows you that it is a festival. And that's what was so unique about Hong Kong, where it was the only sevens tournament in the world when we started. And we were lucky that we played international rugby and sevens, so we could adapt. And it was basically a junket for the players as well to get over here on a Wednesday. This is a routine. Wednesday night, you get there, have a few beers. Thursday morning, you go training for an hour, then you go shopping. Friday, you go training for an hour, you go shopping, play Saturday, Sunday, shop Monday, go home. That was it. Things have changed, unfortunately.
That's for sure. Back to your career in 82 when you first pulled on the Wallabies jumper against the All Blacks there in Christchurch. What do you remember about it?
Yeah, well, I was pretty shocked, really, because I started rugby in 79 for the Queanbeyan Whites fourth grade. Then I went to first grade in 1980, played the Australian 21s 81 and for the Wallabies. So I didn't go through the school system. So it was a bit of a shock. And I think that sort of helped me some way into get into Test rugby because I didn't know much about the All Blacks or about Test rugby. I wasn't really worried about the opposition, where obviously if you've grown up playing rugby union, the All Blacks were the team to beat. You know, they were ruthless, they were physical, and they really took no prisoners. But, yeah, look, you know, we went over on tour with the Ellers, who end up my great mates. So it was a different style of rugby. Bob Dwyer was coach. We had a really good team. We were a bit unlucky in the first test, actually. We surprised the All Blacks in Christchurch. And we played a style of rugby that was basically changed Australian rugby as well. So the first test was pretty tough. We lost. Second test, we won. So, yes, it was a very tough three-test series, and it was in between the week's games as well, you had some of the provincial sides. So, again, it was very, very physical, and that's what you expect when you play the All Blacks.
Campo, it was a career of such highs and lows, I guess, as far as results in particular, when you took 84 Grand Slam. You were part of, still to this day, part of the last Wallabies side to win at Eden Park, to the devastation of losing to France in the semi-final at the World Cup in 87, the 89 series, the devastating loss to the British Lions, and then winning the World Cup in 91. What's the best of the highest moments, and what was the most challenging of the lowest moments for you in your career?
Look, I think everyone's career's got highs and lows. You know, it's very difficult to stay up there full-time. And the way I played is, you know, if I saw an opportunity, I'd take it. If it worked, it worked. If it didn't, it didn't. And as Australians, you know, the tall poppy syndrome, that's they love you one day and they hate you the next. So that's probably the hardest thing, is getting over the disappointments and getting over the, you know, that you as a player sort of didn't play to your potential, or you let your fans down. But I suppose the highest point, obviously, was the opportunity to play for Australia. Rugby has taken me from Queanbeyan, 21,000 people, to living in Italy for 10 years. I married a Zimbabwean lady and lives in South Africa for 10 years. And just seeing the world. And I think that's what really sort of helped me to become who I am. If I was stuck in Queanbeyan, I wouldn't probably have the knowledge that I have of around the world. And I don't know if you noticed, I did a couple of cooking things on Instagram last night. I love cooking, so just the opportunity to grow up and understand what the world's like, living in different countries. And I suppose the low parts are playing not to my potential, but also being dropped. I don't think anyone in any career loves to be dropped from a test team. I just think that, you know, overall it's in balance. You know, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, you've got to make mistakes to learn. If you don't learn, you're not really true to yourself. So
yes, I made some mistakes, but normally they're the biggest mistakes because as a winger, you're out there watching and everyone's got the camera on you. We're in the, if you make a mistake in the forwards or a ruck, no one really sees you. So being isolated out there, it sort of does give you a bit of exposure. But hey, you know, I mean, I had a great time and I learned as I went along.
Campo, have you got any involvement now with Australian rugby? And if do or don't, how do you, you... Well, you must be extremely disappointed with where you see the game today.
Yeah, look, it's not easy. I mean, you know, I played majority of the part in the amateur era, you know, and, you know, we... I think the rugby union back in the 80s had four people working for them, so we won a World Cup. I know things have changed. Professionalism changes everything. And I think one of the biggest problems with rugby was that we went from amateur to professional overnight. And really, you can't do that. I mean, I thought back in 91, the rugby union, IRB, could have said, righto, guys, you know, we understand, you know, guys have got livelihoods. If you want to write a book or that, you can get the proceeds. Slowly change the system. But just from one day being an amateur, next day you turn up training, you know, full-time rugby. And when we did that in 96, I remember for New South Wales, I went training. We trained the Joeys pool at 6 in the morning, had breakfast. And then I said, right, we'll see at 11 o'clock at training. I remember going training. Guys are looking around and saying, well, what are we doing here? This is professionalism. So, yeah, so we didn't really do it properly. And I think now that you can see that we still are struggling. The competition, the stands are super, what is it, 15, 16. It worked once, but unfortunately the time travel, the expenses, the crowds, they've gone away from the Waratahs, the names, the Hurricanes, the Crusaders. And I think this just changed the whole landscape. And I think that's been very, very frustrating these days. You know, winning's important. And I think if you play a style of rugby that the crowds love, people will come. And I don't think we're playing the style of rugby that we want to play. We've been sucked in by the Kiwis. We've been playing the Kiwi rugby style for many, many years, which doesn't suit us. So they're playing the way we used to and we're playing the way they used to. So it's not a great view going forward. But, I mean, we've just got to make sure that we play the style of rugby that the Australian rugby people want to see.
Yeah, I think that's so right, Campo, because our DNA is completely different to a Kiwi's in how we want to approach our sport, and that's something that rugby has lost, and some other codes, in fact, have lost it as well. Would you like to see a bigger shift and focus now put back on club rugby here in Australia?
Well, I think club rugby's been going well over the last couple of years. You know, I remember playing for Randwick in the old days, and, you know, we used to win. I think we won 6 in a row. And, you know, I remember playing up from 80, I think it was 87 to 98. And I think that when I played for Randwick, I think we only came first, second or third. You know, now Randwick's coming eighth. Professionalism's changed. Parents come down, they want their kids to get paid, just come out of school. And that's been our problem. And I think that no one at club rugby should be played at all. I think the goals are up higher. Therefore, it's going to save the clubs. There's a lot of people in all sports who volunteer. They love their sport. They love being there, just being around the players, around the club. And I think if we can get that, go, right, no one gets paid at club rugby. The opportunity, obviously, to play for New South Wales upwards, that's when you start getting paid. I think it will really help. I think grassroots, we've got to try and get the grassroots going again. We need the kids to understand who their idols are. They don't. I do a lot of coaching with my academy around Australia, and after the session, I ask a young Johnny, what position, number 9, who's your favourite player? I haven't got one. So that seems to be our problem there, is that the kids don't know who the players are. And it's very, very frustrating, because if you don't know who the players are, how are you going to learn? How do you want to be like him? And why do you want to play the game?
Yeah, well, you need to have heroes in all sports, and that's a good point you make, Campo. Now, I was obviously based down there in Queanbeyan and Canberra and playing for the Canberra Raiders. And there was always this talk about wanting to get David Campese to come and play for the Raiders. And we're all excited. Now, you received plenty of offers to come and play rugby league. Were you ever close to switching codes?
No. I think Parramatta was the first team that approached me. Don Furner, obviously, I knew very well, and from Queanbeyan when I played for the Queanbeyan Blues as a kid. I just thought that, you know, rugby league was great, but, you know, one thing you guys have mentioned, you know, I think I did 4 tackles in 15 years, so in rugby league, that wouldn't have really made me look...
Yeah, but you would have scored a few tries, Campo.
But it was interesting, a little fact that I don't know too many people know, that in, I think it was 90 grand final, I think it was, that we played, Randwick played on the Saturday, and we won the grand final. And the week after, the Raiders was playing the grand final up in Sydney here. And Ricky Stewart, who's a good mate of mine, rang me up and said, "Mate, have you got any moulded boots?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, I haven't got any moulded soles, boots." And I said, "Fine." So I gave him the pair of boots that I wore in the grand final the week before. So we both won grand finals.
I remember that story. Yeah. And I remember you coming into the sheds after the game. And I remember... everyone sort of talking and having a bit of a laugh, and they were great times, weren't they? They were great times. Have you got those set of boots, by the way?
Yeah, where are those boots now, Camper?
Yeah, mate, they'd be worth a bit now.
Oh, wouldn't they? What?
But it's the rugby league was great. It was a good opportunity. I played league most of my life. I'm 16, so I just thought I'd go on, and off I went. And I think once I enjoyed the lifestyle of rugby, you know, living in Italy for 6 months and then Australia for 6 months for 10 years, I mean, Lee can't beat that, unfortunately. Sorry, guys.
Who was the best player you played with or against, Campo?
With Mark Eller, by far.
Yep.
Mark was a genius. He was so relaxed. And, you know, the thing with him was, and most of my, I try and teach my kids who love sport, I said, the best players in the world, doesn't matter in any sport, I've got one thing in common. Their basic skills are fantastic. If you can do the simple things, the hard things look easy. If you can't do the easy things, the hard things, it's impossible. So Mark made things look very easy, had great vision, and he wanted to enjoy his rugby. Against, there was a couple of French guys, a guy called Serge Blanco, and there was a better guy than him called Jean-Baptiste Lafon, who was a winger, unbelievable player. They were the Cavaliers of the French rugby back in those days, and they played some great rugby. So I was very fortunate to play against Jonah, a lot of great All Blacks, Stu Wilson, John Kerwin. So, you know, you can name many, many players, but it was just very fortunate to play in an era where rugby was played in the great style and on the world stage, and we absolutely had a fantastic time.
With the current crop of players, Campo, is there anyone in particular that you enjoy watching?
Yeah, I like Banks. He's a player that you can see that he wants to really get involved. He'll try different things. And I think that's what we need in Australian rugby. We need players who can get out there and express themselves, who are not the norm. We don't want coaches to say, don't do that again. We need coaches to say, guys, go out and try. If it doesn't work, keep on trying. We need to get that adventurism back in our play instead of being up and down, up and down. We need match winners. We need people to bring the crowds back who are going to run the ball from under the goalpost, not just kick it out. So Banks is one. Look, you know, Hooper's been around a while. He's a good leader. His work rate's unbelievable. We just need some of these young guys now to stand up to the next level. The thing is that one thing that I've noticed about the game is now that, you know, these guys are professional. They train every day. But, you know, if you've got a number 10, they should be kicking right and left foot, not just practicing their good sides. You go train and practice your bad sides, you know. So that's where you've got to keep the opposition guessing what you're going to do next. And I think that comes from just hard work and understanding and loving the game.
And finally for me, mate, you're a rugby supporter, what gives you the optimism that rugby will survive and thrive over the coming years?
Well, I just think that this break now is obviously might help us and might get us to rethink about the way we want to play. I think all sports, obviously, you know, Australians love sports, you know, and this is going to be devastating for everybody. And I'm sure there's going to be a few people go a bit crazy at home because there's nothing on TV. And I just think that what we got to do is be realistic, you know, and start the system, have a look the way we play. Speak to the coach and say, right, whatever we've been doing in the past, it does not work. This pod system does not work. The Kiwis are good at it. They've moved away from that and we're still doing it. What we need to do is have a look at the way, be a bit more adventurous and get everyone on the same page and get these kids wanting to play for Australia, wanting to be like their idols. And look, the future's always bright. We've just got to make it work.
Campo, looking at your social media, you're quite the cook, to say the least.
Yes,
what's your go-to feed, mate?
Well, obviously, passes. I've done two passes this week. I did a Vongole, which is a baby clams in pasta last night. I've got a book that I brought out 2003. There's about 10 Italian recipes. Living there for 10 years. I used to go after the game to the same restaurants, and the chef let me sit in the back, watch them how they cooked, and yeah, mate, just love cooking. So it's part of the pastime. Get my kids to learn as well. But it was my son's birthday yesterday, and he loves clams. So we had clams in beautiful pasta.
Helping you through isolation as well.
Well, definitely, mate. You've got to keep busy. So we've just been for a bike ride, so we make sure our kids do exercise twice a day, get out and eat healthily, and they're on computers all day at school, unfortunately, so they've got to get out and about as well. But cooking's a great pastime. You can have a great time. You can have a few wines as well.
Now, Campo, keep the calendar clear. April 2 next year, Clarkie's 40th. We're going to have a big bash at his house.
40th? Jeez. Yep. Well, I hope we're out of isolation by then. Otherwise, you guys need a bit of trouble.
Oh, you'll be joining us.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Campo, look, been great to get your insight on just your life and career. I mean, it was very short insight, but could have talked to you for a long time. But, look, thanks so much for giving us your time this morning.
Anytime, guys. Have a great week, and hopefully just stay isolated and keep healthy.